You know, Wednesday I was talking to the young people and I told them that making New Year's resolution is not a bad thing. A lot of people go against making it. They say you should make it every year, every day you should. But it's not a bad thing because I said to them, you never hear somebody saying, for the new year, I'll become a mass murderer. You never hear that. What you hear is they always have something good when come. For the year, I'm going to lose weight. For the year, I'm going to change my diet. For the year, I'll look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. Back in the day.
Back in the day. it's a new year. And I pray that you, each one of us, had made some kind of commitment for the new year. I was at a meeting yesterday, and I happened to pick up this, and I said, I'm going to read it. It's not all that, but it's that. But it says, I am the new year. I am the unspoiled page in your book of time. I am your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you have learned about life during the last 12 months. All that you dreamed but did not dare to do, all that you hope but did not will, all the faith that you claim but did not have. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to him who said, behold, I make all things new. You know, I made some little resolutions. I did. One of it was try not to wear my good clothes to fix stuff. You identify. My wife, she would buy. Last year, I got some nice jeans for Christmas. When I say nice jeans. I think some of the nicest jeans I ever had. And ever so often, my wife will catch me working with it. Because when I get home, what I'll do? I just get out the lawnmower, go cut the grass in my nice jeans, see the truck have a problem. I lay down on the ground and look to see if I could see what is wrong with it. And those jeans were not very nice anymore. So I said to my wife, I need some jeans that I could wear, and I'll only wear them to church and for real estate so they will stay nice. And you see, got some nice new jeans. I said, don't buy me anything expensive. And I got some jeans. And one of my resolutions is I am not going to work in my jeans. Well, not, but I would work in the old ones. And the other day I got home and she said, you sure took off those jeans pretty quickly. I'm trying to keep that resolution. So we'll see how that goes this year. See if I could keep my jeans looking good and only use my nice jeans for, and shirts. I didn't make the shirt part, but we could add that. So it's good to make some kind of commitment for the betterment of your life in Christ. So I was asking, Lord, what should I preach? What should I teach? And I struggled. I had an idea, and he gave me this, and I share a little bit of it New Year's Eve on grace. But I didn't have a scripture. I didn't have a scripture to go with it. And yesterday he gave me this scripture, and I hope I can do this justice because I didn't have a lot of time to, you know, to mold over it and cogitate and all that. All right. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I decided to use my Bible this morning, and I went looking for Corinthians, and I had a hard time because I've been using digital for so long. I know about where it was, but I had to start using my childhood, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know that? So every now and then, put down that device and use the book so you don't get rusty. And let's start at verse 5. Although we start in the middle of a thought, but verse 5. We could read the whole thing. Let's start. I, Paul, verse 1, I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humbled with face to face with you, who are humbled when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I'm away. Some people could identify. I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness. I hope I have that right. Yeah, I do have that right. Yeah. I'm looking to make sure I have the right scripture. Okay, where am I? Oh, there it is. With such confidence as I count on showing again some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though I walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obedience, being ready to push every disobedience when your disobedience is complete. See, oh Lord, help me, Jesus. Am I reading the right thing? 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm in the wrong. That's why I'm getting trouble. I am in the wrong place, okay? That was free. This is the commercial. You're supposed to hit this button if you want the stuff to start in 4 seconds. Okay. It's for 12. I'm in the wrong. I know. I said, this isn't sung right. That's what happens. I had it open today. That's my problem. But praise the Lord anyhow. I was just telling somebody, I don't let these things stop me. You got to keep pressing on to the Lord. All right, 12. Chapter 12, and we'll just go to 5 because I gave you all too much already. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I plead with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more greatly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamity. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The part I want you to, as we look at this scripture, the part I really want you to keep in mind when we're talking about everything, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. For my grace is sufficient for you. You know, if you look at grace and mercy, they have a lot in common. But the best way to look at it is two circles overlapping. There's some parts of grace that you would not find in mercy at all. I want us to look at grace this morning as divine enablement. Grace, when I say that word, think of it as a divine enablement that only God gives. So let's look at the text. For the new year, these are some things you can say, I would like to do for the new year. First, I would like to boast in my weaknesses. Hold on. That is not what the world tells you to do. Do you know that? The world tells you to hide that. But this morning, I would like to look at this scripture and says, for the new year, I would like to boast in my weaknesses. Woohoo! You guys didn't sound too excited about that. Verse 5. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Paul said this. Paul, if you think about Paul, and my mind goes to Paul, I think of a mighty man of God. I do. I think of a man that God transformed, a man that became an apostle, a man that started churches, a man that went on missionary journeys, a man that was successful doing the work of God. But yet, in this chapter, you see him saying, I'm going to put that aside, and my boasting is not going to be in those accomplishments. My boasting is not even going to be in the experience I have. I didn't even know if that experience was in the body or out of the body. And he says, I can do that. But it'd be foolish to do that, because what I want to do is boast in my weaknesses. You know, I remember when I got saved, even when I was going to college, I would go to Bible studies. And, you know, we would sit down in a circle, and whoever is leading the Bible study, they would do this. They'll say, okay, you read such and such, you read such and such, and you read such and such, and I am dying inside. Because I don't want them to point to me. Because I know if they point to me, I'm going to have a hard time and I'm going to look foolish. But guess what? They point to me. When they point to me, whatever they discuss before they get to me, I have no idea. Because all I'm trying to do is to figure out when they get to me, I could read this good. So I am looking and I'm figuring out the words and I'm trying to get it. So by the time they reach to me to read, my weaknesses is not shown. Sometimes I succeeded and sometimes I failed. Do you have a weakness? Is that weakness stopping you from doing what God called you to do? Here's the second thing I would like to do for this new year is I will not lift myself up. He said this in verse 6. Though if I should wish to boast, I would be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so no one would think more of me that he sees in me or hear from me. You know, we have a problem. All of us have a problem. Well, Scratch that. I have a problem. You always want people to see you better than you are. Do you know that? Not only that, you want them to know what you know and all the great experience you had. Because you want them to see you in a nice light. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that that's not your job. You know, in Proverbs it says, you shouldn't boast about yourself, let others do that. But for some reason, we like to do that. But Paul says here, I'm not going to boast in my accomplishment. I'm not even going to boast in my experience with the Lord because I don't want people to see me higher, think of me higher than they really should. It's not something I grasp. But how I want them to think about me is what they see me doing and what they hear me teaching. How are you living your life? Some of us live our lives like the world, but want to exalt ourselves as a person in Christ. Some of us wants to give teachings contrary to the word of God, but yet we want to be exalted as a teacher of the word. And Paul says, I am not going to give you information for you to look at me better than I am. In other words, he says, my actions and my words will speak for themselves. The third thing I see, I will stay humble before and by under the hand of God. I will stay humble before God and under his hands. Verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, the thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger from Sir Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Now, if I had never read the word of God, if I wasn't a person that read through the Bible of God and somebody told me that was in the word of God, I'd tell them they are lying. Do you all understand what is going on here? He said, a thorn was given to me in the flesh. What is that thorn? A messenger of Satan. God is using Satan to harass. Wait. God is using Satan to harass me. Well, it sounds bad, doesn't it? What's the purpose? To keep me from becoming conceited. I've told a few people this. I've not told a lot of people this, but I told a few people this. I said, if I had a mind like George, I said, I could become very conceited. I said, because I already have a personality that God gave me. And if I had that knowledge, I could get a big head. And I thought to myself, maybe the thing that God is using in my life to keep me in check is some of my shortcomings when coming to my ability in reading and remembering and grasping. You know, I could tell you it's in the word, but I can't tell you where to find it. I remember one time I said, I used to do this. George would be in Florida. I'm up here. I'm preparing a sermon. I cannot find a verse. I look it up in the book. I didn't have smartphone to just speak to it. I would call George. I said, George, I am looking for this scripture and I can't find it. And George would say to me, it's in the book of Acts. It's about, I think it's the 15th chapter and it's halfway down. And I will go to the book of Acts and I will go to the 15th chapter and guess what? It was halfway down. And I'm saying, how does he do it? I can't even remember the book it is in. Sometimes I can't even remember the verse properly. I just have the idea. But God knows what he's doing. You may feel that that thing that you're going through, that hardship that you're going through, that oh me, oh me, oh me. But it may just be God keeping your eyes on him. They have speculation of what it was. Nobody knew what his thorn in the flesh was. But let me read this. It could be this. Some people say eyesight. I don't know what it is. But I want to read this from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Turn there, because you know, if I make a mistake, I need your help. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. For we who so utterly burdened beyond our strength, that we despise life itself. Despair life itself. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Think about that for a minute. Paul, the guy that wrote so many letters, the missionary, the person who had in or out body experience, we don't know. Here he is serving God, and he was at a point that what? Death looked good. Yes, death looked good. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Well, I don't know if any of you this morning are feeling that way. I don't know. I hope not, because that had to be in a desperate place. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Why? I am going through this. I feel right now like I could just die. The pain is unbelievable. The debt is so unbelievable. The place I am in, I can't see out. The situation that I'm going through is painful. But why it is there? So that I would put my trust in God who raised the dead, so I could put my trust in God who can deliver me from drugs, so I could put my trust in God who can take away my debt, so I could put my trust in God who can take care of the pain, so I could put my trust in God in spite of what I am going through, because my God. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayer of many. What are you going through? What are you facing? What it is that you are facing that you feel it's unbearable? Paul said, I don't know if this is you, but Paul said he was given a thorn. His thorn was an assignment from God given to Satan. Through Satan that was tormenting him. And the purpose was to keep him on the straight path, to keep his eyes on God. Do you know, I don't know about you, but I could tell you about me. When I'm struggling, my eyes are more on God than anything else. When I have problems, I'm calling on God more than I've ever called on him before. When we are going through stuff, what we need to do is realize that God is our only source. Number four. I will accept God's answer to my prayer and walk in grace for the power of Christ. Verse 8 and 9. Three times I plead with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more greatly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's grace, divine enablement. This is the part I really believe that the Lord laid on my heart. We as believers have to learn how to walk in grace. We pray and we pray and we pray. Some people have been praying for years for the same ailment. Years. Now, until God says no, keep praying. Okay? When God speaks to you, stop praying and thank him. And here's the thing we never ask. And I'm asking God these questions now. God, is this supposed to be a grace walk? Sometimes we are missing out on the power of Jesus Christ resting on us because we are not rejoicing in our infirmities, because we're not relying on God's grace. God's grace is his divine enabling you to walk through it, to walk with it, to walk in spite of it. Let me read this. I was, when Ed came in the office there this morning, I was reading this and I thought I want to read it just as it's the guy put it. Satan was permitted to buffet Paul. The word means to beat, to strike with the fist. The tense of the verb indicates that this pain was either constant or reoccurring. When you stop to think that Paul had letters to write, trips to take, sermons to preach, churches to visit, and dangers to face as he ministered, you can understand that this was a serious matter. No wonder he prayed three times as his Lord had done in the garden. That affliction might be removed from him. Three times he prayed. When God permits suffering to come into our lives, there are several ways we can deal with it. Some people become bitter and blame God for robbing them of their freedom and pleasure. Are you at that place? Okay. Others just give up and fail to get any blessing out of the experience because they will not put any courage into the experience. Just give up. Put no effort. Still, others grit their teeth and put on a brave front, determined to endure to the very end. While this is a courageous response, it usually drains them of their strength that they need for daily living, and after a time, they will collapse. I think this is for us today. I think this is for us today. We too easily fall into these categories right here, what he talks about. I know all of us, we pray and we wish God would just take it away. So life could be so much easier. But if you read the word of God and you realize when the Israelites got their life very easy, what happened? When they walk into the land flowing with milk and honey and they got life easy, instead of they stay focused on God, what happened? They lost their focus. Here's a thing to consider. Maybe the people who are in the most pain, maybe he's trying to keep you straight. Because you're not walking right. And he wants you to focus. When God permits some suffering to come in our lives, there are several ways we can deal with it. Some people become bitter and blame God for robbing them of their freedom and pleasure. Paul said, the situation I was in, I could really choose death. It was that bad. But I put my hope in the one who can raise the dead. The situation you may in, you may want to get out of it so bad. But if you would only put your hope in the one who can carry you through. Others give up. Others give up because it's too hard. You know why? They're not looking towards the divine enablement of grace that is given by God. And grace is a gift. God gives you grace. You don't earn grace. God gives you grace. One of the scriptures I love, it says, for you are saved by grace through faith. And guess what? It is a gift from God. Some of us use our own strength. And you know how I know that? They come to church. We know they're suffering. You talk to them. They look like everything is okay. You see it in marriages sometimes. They look happy every Sunday. They walk in holding hands. They lift up their hand and praise God. And 6 months down the road, they get a divorce and we wonder what happened. Why? Because they were trying to do things with their own strength. They were not relying on the divine enablement of God, which is grace. One of the things I say out of my mouth a lot of time, Lord, give me grace. Lord, I need grace. Because I can't earn it, but the situation that I am in, it is hard, it is rough, I'm feeling the pain, give me grace. Lastly, This year, I will be content. Second Corinthians 12 and the first 10, the last page. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen to these words. He didn't just say weakness. He said, I'm content in weakness. We all have weaknesses, but he was content. Insult. That means somebody is causing that on him. Hardship. You know, hardship can come by your decisions, or it could come by the other way. Persecution. That only comes really one way, when you're doing the will of God. Calamity. And then he says this, for when I'm weak, I am strong. Why? Because God's grace is how I'm going to walk. And as I rejoice, as I walk in God's grace, the power of Christ is going to rest on me. Some of us are not really experiencing the power of Christ resting on you because you can't even rejoice in what you're going through. Some of us, all we want is the solution. All we want is for it to be fixed. And God may be saying to you this morning, it may never get fixed because you have to do a grace walk. Folks, until the answer comes, until deliverance is received, you may just have to walk in grace. Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sins. One more time. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all sins. Praise the Lord. We used to sing that song when I was growing up. I couldn't get the verses once I had to sing it too. Praise the Lord. Would somebody go get George and the kids, please? As we come to take communion this morning, I want you to think about grace. I want you to really think about grace. And as you take communion, I want you to really believe that you can have that grace in Christ. Christ can give you the grace to walk through it. It may feel hard. It may feel tough. It may get unbearable. You may even get to the place that you think death is probably the solution. But God's grace is greater than anything you're going through right now. You know, the easiest thing we can do is we can walk right when we don't have any pain. For a short while. But pain is what keeps us focused on who He is. And I praise God for my weaknesses. Because I can't take any of the credit. It must all go to Him. I was thinking about God's grace. And I was telling somebody, I said, look, I've asked God many times, why you choose me? I said, God, why you choose me? I said, God, I know my life. I know my struggles. And God, I don't feel worthy. Why you choose me? And God chose me because I have to walk in grace. Because my journey is not about me. My journey is about Him. My life is not about me. My life is about Him. And the only way I can live the kind of life that God wants me to live in spite of who I am is through His grace. His enabling power. And that's a miracle. Sometimes when some people ask me, so how you did it? I said, it's only by God's grace. But first, you have to know how to rejoice in your weaknesses. You need to know how to say, yes, I am weak. And as the songwriter, but He is strong. So as we come to the table, as we come to partake in communion, I want you to know and to realize your journey may not be an easy journey. You may even see others that you think their journey is easier than your journey. But you are not walking in their shoes. Their journey may be looking easy because they have learned how to walk in grace. If it's one person, they should have in the dictionary when you put up grace, should be James. I've never seen a man walk with pain and you can't even tell it. If I didn't ask Mr. James, James, so how are you doing? Then I know, he said, well, I woke up with a 9. And by the time I finished my exercise, it went down to a 6. And it stayed at a 6 all day. And I'm thinking, he's at a 6 right now, and he didn't even budge. When I'm at a 3, I'm letting everybody know I'm hurting. Grace. He has learned how to walk in grace. So George, would you come? And Ed, would you come? Jesus, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I am weak, but you are strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, Lord, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. 448, just a closer walk, just a closer walk with, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden share? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is old, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, on to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with thee, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, this morning, we just come to you, Lord, and we just want to be thankful. We are thankful for your mercy. We are thankful for your grace. Father, we as a church, as believers, Lord, we want to live our life according to your will and your plan. Lord, help us, oh God, to learn how to receive the divine enablement of your grace, so that we can walk in the way we need to walk, in spite of how we feel, in spite of the pain, in spite of the desire, in spite of the war that goes on inside of us. Father, this morning as you look down, there are many of us who need grace in many areas of our lives. And we are asking, oh God, that you would give us grace. And Father, right now, Lord God, we thank you. And we thank you that this grace is possible because Jesus. Jesus came and he died on the cross and he rose again. And because of his life, death, and resurrection, we know that we serve a God that is powerful. And we just want to praise your name. We just want to exalt you. Lord, we just praise you and we exalt you this morning. That, Father, you can come and you can give us the strength that we can walk even when we feel the pain and we feel the thing inside of us that is torturing us. Oh, God, we can walk by your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son so he can die on the cross to first give us that grace, that enablement to come to Christ so we can have life. And now, God, we recognize that even though Jesus has set us free from sin, we still need grace so that we could walk in certain areas of our lives where it's so hard and difficult. Father, as we hold this piece of wafer in our hands, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. Jesus, we want to thank you for coming and being obedient even to death, to the death of the cross. Thank you for taking the stripes so that we can be healed. Thank you that we don't no longer have to receive the wrath of God because you came and you took it for us. Thank you. You said to your disciples that this is my body, broken for you. Take it, eat it, and as often as you do, remember me. Let's partake together. Father, we understand fully that without the shedding of your blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of sin. And we understand that your blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Father, as we take time right now, we think of the things we even have done this week that was not pleasing to you. And we ask, oh God, that you would forgive us because your word said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the blood. We remember this morning what Jesus had to go through so that we could have life. And he took the cup and he said to them, this is the covenant. This is my blood poured out for you. Take it, drink it, and as you do, remember me. Let's take part together. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I exalt you. Praise the Lord. I've been telling Lance for a long time. I say, Lance, the way you serve the Lord is when you fall down, you get up and you run back, right back to the Lord. And I say, you cannot fall and run away from God. You have to, when you fall, you have to get right back up and run to God because you need him. Well, Lance is going off tomorrow to Teen Challenge in somewhere in Atlanta. He did all the call-ins. I didn't do any of it because I wasn't going to do any of it. But I know this, he needs God's grace. I know he needs God's grace to do this. I know he needs God's grace to make it till tomorrow morning when I pick him up to take him to Atlanta. He needs God's grace when he gets there. That in spite of how he feels, he'll depend on God's grace to get him through and walk by his grace. God's grace doesn't mean you don't feel the pain, folks. It doesn't mean you don't feel the pain. It means that he gives you a divine power to work in spite of the pain. So if Lance would come, we'll pray for him this morning. I didn't tell him I was going to do that, but I think we should do that. I know many times he didn't come because he doesn't want to face you guys. And he should feel like that. But no matter how you feel, you don't run away from the people who can help you the most. And people do that. They run away from the people that was going to pray for them, the people who is going to try to support them and lead them right, and they run to the people who is going to back them up what they're doing wrong. So if you would come, and let's lay hand on this young man, and let's believe that this is